Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, welcome. You know, last week was fascinating. I learned last Saturday, right at the end of the program, that if you eat a lot of chili peppers, you have a 26% reduction in heart disease. Is that what you said?
I don't remember what I said. Well,
and you said 23% reduction in cancers.
Yes.
And 25%
all-cause mortality decline. Yes.
That's right. Yeah. Just with chili peppers.
Just chili peppers.
I've been looking, but I'm still trying to find the more mild chili peppers. Oh. But that may be counterproductive.
Just have my wife send you a box.
I don't trust your wife. She's a hot person.
She is hot. I agree.
She is a chili pepper. She is a walking chili
pepper. You don't have to use a lot of chili pepper. Okay? If what you're cooking, you don't want it too hot. You dice the chili pepper and you'll put a little bit in. And the next time you put a little more.
Until you can handle it.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to, you know, now if you're doing a Szechuan hot pot, okay, you've got this great big pot.
Yeah.
And you've got boiling oil or water in it. And you throw in so many chili peppers, you can't see the water or the oil anymore. I mean, it's just a boiling mass of chili peppers.
Yeah.
Roiling in the boiling stuff.
Okay.
And then you take your meat and your veggies and you throw those into that. And they cook in this enormous chili pepper broth.
That I could not handle.
That's a heart attack waiting to happen, Jerry.
No, it prevents the heart attack.
No, I don't know about that, Jerry.
But you'll sweat.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well,
And then she doesn't eat rice or anything with it, so it's just that.
Yeah. And if you really want it to be hot, you use veggies, you know, like cabbage and stuff, that just soak up that chili pepper juice.
Oh, my gosh.
Delicious.
The things you learn are supposed to help you here on Leading Edge Medicine.
Any Szechuan restaurant will.
I know.
Do this.
I know.
For you or to you, I'm not sure which.
Well, I am trying to add capsaicin into my diet just a little bit more. So thank you for the lessons and the teaching and the education. It's actually very fascinating.
Yes.
Statistic. I mean, if it's true, which it is.
Well, it seems to be. At least that's what the medical literature says.
Yeah, they did a ton of research on
that. You know what? You could start mildly. You can start with black pepper first. You can start with pepper flakes, red chili pepper flakes, and then you can progress to the chili peppers.
Okay. Well, we will see how many of our listeners are willing to do that.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, they'll call and tell us. Okay. So let's do this. I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon, obviously, Dr. Samara Umat here, and it's Valentine's Day weekend. But there's been some negative virus news lately, this last week or so. This has been a bit discouraging.
Yes.
So explain.
In fact, I was reading some of the literature last night, and I went to bed and said, oh, dear.
Don't read negative things before you go to bed. Don't listen to the news before you go to bed.
I don't. Well, you know, we don't have a TV contract, so. but sometimes I'm reading the medical literature, and it can be depressing.
Yes, so, it definitely can be.
So tell us why.
Yeah. Well, looking at the transmission rates, the viral strains that are popping up around the world, and the vaccination rates, and when you put it all together, it's kind of discouraging. you know, our standard versions that we've had here in the United States and the little mutations we've had did not impact the vaccines at all. And so we were all feeling pretty good about it.
Right.
But the new South African variant.
Yeah.
It does decrease the effectiveness of virtually all of the vaccines. It, the Moderna and Pfizer are the least affected. That's the good news. Uh-huh. And Moderna doesn't even want to accept that modest decrease in potency because they are already working on a booster specifically aimed at the South African virus.
Oh, okay.
That's the good news. The problem with that, of course, is it has to go through the FDA regulatory process, et cetera.
Right.
Who's, Biden's or Trump's?
Well, Biden's in charge now. So the question is he going to keep Trump's, you know, less tight regulation, or is he going to tighten it back up and make it 5 years to get it on the market? We don't know. I'm hoping he's smart enough to say, hey, what Trump did worked. Let's keep it at least till we get through this crisis.
Well, don't count on that. But
okay. We'll see.
We'll see.
It's something we have no control over, but the company is developing anyway. The big problem is the newer AstraZeneca ones that are just on the verge of being approved in Europe and so on. That one is dramatically less effective against the African strain. Mm. And they had a kind of an interesting situation. The AstraZeneca was almost 90% effective in the European studies, but in the African studies, it was only about 50% effective.
Okay.
And the question was, what was the difference? Well, it turns out as they've gone back and looked at their samples, a significant number of those people that they were testing on in Africa had the African variant. They just didn't know that it existed yet.
Okay.
But that 50% effectiveness was a mixture of people with the older variants that were nearly 90% effective.
Okay.
And the new African, which is down about 25 or 30% effective.
Oh, I see what you're getting.
And
at.
So that 50% number is a blended number between people with the two different types of virus. So it's probably almost worthless against the African strain by itself.
Yeah.
And, of course, the African strain is now, we now have two cases in the United States.
I was going to say, has it landed here?
It's starting to spread, and it is more virulent, spreads more easily than the older versions. So, yes, we may have a second wave pandemic with the African strain, for which we have a couple of vaccines now, Moderna and Pfizer, that are pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, so that should at least help ameliorate it. Now let me give you the scary numbers. Okay. The United States has managed so far to vaccinate about 9.5% of our population. England has managed to do nearly 15% of their population. Europe has done under 3%.
Yeah.
That says that Europe, with less than 3% of their population vaccinated, is headed for recession within the next couple of months.
Aren't they already in a recession?
They're teetering. Some states are. You know, Italy, France, Spain.
Oh, my gosh, I've heard such horrible things.
But Germany is, you know, the North countries are so far holding on to some growth, but the entire EU...
Yeah.
We'll probably be sliding into recession.
We may not be taking that vacation in Paris and England after
all. Well, not only that, they're talking about that. See, the European nations decided to be cheap. They negotiated for the lowest possible price because they're used to not paying much for their drugs. And so in the United States, Trump just said, here's $2 billion, get us the vaccine. They said, well, now we don't want you to make a profit. And, you know, how do we get this? So they're about 2.5 to 3 months behind the United States in getting vaccine deliveries.
Okay.
Ours are starting to trickle in. Theirs will not even be. They're saying that maybe by the end of this year, they might have 30% of their population vaccinated.
By the end of the year?
By the end of 2021.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And the vaccine that they are buying doesn't cover
the African
strain.
Yeah.
So
well, those are pretty scary statistics.
You see why I went to bed going, oh dear.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah,
well,
I do.
Basically, it proves you get what you pay for. Usually.
Well, no, you always pay for what you get.
Oh, okay.
I've often not gotten what I paid for, but I always paid for what I got.
Yeah, that's right. So let me ask you this. Somebody sent me an article just yesterday that we should have done what Sweden did. And because their statistics, they didn't shut down.
Nope.
The only thing they did that was quite dramatic and effective is they protected the elderly.
Yes.
And the sick.
Yes.
Not just the elderly, but
the old, the fat, the sick.
Yes.
Yeah, they
restricted them tightly.
Yes. And the rest of the population was pretty much open.
All the restaurants, all the
bars stayed open. The
everything.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they are now getting hit pretty hard with the second wave, too.
Even Sweden. Okay.
So,
but still not as bad. The statistics.
Not as bad. Compared to the Southern Europeans, they're great because they do have a degree of herd immunity. Because a lot of their young people who didn't get very sick got sick. So they had enormous number of infected people. But because they protected the elderly and the sick, they had low death rate. Now, the death rate has climbed since then. Because you can't protect grandma from the kids and the grandkids forever.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so let me ask you another question. This, I've got to ask. When, let's say, a vaccine is effective 80% of the time.
Yeah.
Why don't the 20%? I mean, why do the 20% still get it? In other words...
Because their immune systems did not respond to the...
So the importance, I guess, the point I might be making is, isn't this a very, very good time to do everything within your power to build your own immune system?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Absolutely, yes. No, I mean, you want to be lean. You want to be active. You want to boost your immune system. You want to have a good diet. Yeah, you want to do all those things that we are always proposing and pounding on people here on the show and at Longevity Medical.
Right.
And this is, I think, one reason. I mean, Longevity has always done well. We've been in business since 1998, had our ups and downs. 2008 was not a pleasant experience, you know, that downclimb. But our business is absolutely booming because I guess people are waking up to the reality that they need to take personal responsibility.
Yes. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a positive trend. I like that.
Well, yeah, it's a silver lining for us, at least,
well,
at Longevity.
We carry a high-risk population because all of our patients are generally older with comorbidities, and our infected rate with COVID is 1% at this time, lower than the national average. And also, we haven't had any COVID-related mortality.
Well, your point is, however, 1% for our patients at Longevity. But all, virtually all of our patients are in the more dangerous zone.
Yes, well, they're almost older. They're almost all over 50.
Yeah.
That's right.
Many in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Yeah.
Yes, and yet only about 1% of this elderly population
has
gotten sick.
Which makes that 1% really...
And none of them have died.
And which is lower than the national average.
Yes, for all.
For COVID infections,
yes,
which is at 2%,
ages.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's an amazing statistic when you consider the age of our patients.
Yes.
So. Well, I guess it's an obvious time for me to say, folks, if you're listening to these facts as they are presenting themselves, gee, I think you just said we may be looking at future dramatic lockdowns. Do you think that's possible?
I hope not. But yeah, you know, if the African strain hits us as heavily as the original strain, and if we don't have that booster yet available,
we don't, because it doesn't exist.
Now, you know, I mean, it's being worked on. They've got the formula set up, but they have to go through the testing and the regulatory process. Best case, we're 6 or 7 months out from having one on the market, and that's
right.
If the bureaucrats stay the hell out of the way. And so, who knows? So, yes, it would not surprise me to see us with social distancing and masking and, you know,
business closures,
et cetera, for another year or two if the African strain does what we think it might do.
Well, whether that happens or not, whether the African strain gets worse and affects us like that, the fact is this is the time. There's no excuse, especially for all of you regular listeners to this program. You understand the value of building your own immune system.
Yep.
And isn't that kind of at the core of what we do?
Yes, it is. You know, we do all the things that can, that current science allows us to do to kick your immune system into its most robust and responsive state. So, yeah, come on in, get your free health analysis appointment. And then, if you're smart, go ahead and get the full laboratory test. Come in and spend an hour with the doctor and become a patient. And let us help you.
It's as easy as that. It's so simple. This is why we make the health analysis appointment absolutely free. Even two tests free, the blood test and the special in-body. Because those two tests combined give very good indications as it relates to what your basic health risks are. For you to make an intelligent decision about what to do, what path to take, you need that information first, if it's going to be an intelligent decision.
Absolutely.
So I just encourage you, we're still giving away, we've actually been contemplating not because the demand is so high, but that's okay. We're still giving the $100 of free longevity supplements every time you come in for a free health analysis appointment. So we're still doing it. Why don't you take advantage of it? If you're concerned, you're unhappy with the aging process, go to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and just push the schedule now button. Select which clinic you want to come into, you know, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. And when you select the clinic, that clinic's schedule of free appointments shows up on your screen. And it's so easy to do. You just pick the appointment that's good for you. And if you're married, for example, you want to come in as a couple, pick two that are close together, maybe even back to back if you can do that. A lot of people do that as couples. Again, go to lmclinic.com. I hope you won't procrastinate any longer. Those free appointments could be the first step toward doing something quite beneficial for your aging process.
And not to mention save your life.
Well, I was going to say that, but that sounds so dramatic, but it's what we're talking about, isn't it?
It's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're 22 years old and you're lean and you run 5 miles a day, don't worry about us. But, you know, you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s.
80s, 90s also.
Your blood pressure's a bit high. If your cholesterol's not perfect, you know, you got osteoarthritis. You need longevity because, yes, there's a very good chance it might save your life.
And, you know, Jerry, we've talked about this in the past versus men versus women, where men need a little bit more support of their immune system because they generally cannot mount that good of a response.
Yeah,
and they're more frail.
They are more frail. You know, men don't like that description,
mm-hmm.
but the reality is male immune response is not as robust as female.
Right.
And part of that is, of course, testosterone tends to be more of a pro-inflammatory in the deep tissues. And estrogens tend to be anti-inflammatory. And so women with their higher estradiol levels tend to, you know, weather COVID better. They don't make as much of an inflammatory reaction in their lungs.
Regardless, lmclinic.com. Make your appointment. I promise you, you'll be glad you did. And we'll be back. We are way over. Jerry Berg is going to shoot me. We are way, way over. But that's okay. We'll make it up. Don't go far.
I would say the stem cells a 10, the knee replacement to me like a 3, and it's a miracle, really.
You should consider stem cell therapy, but call someone with experience. Dr. Dan Nelson with ProOrtho in Kirkland, 425-823-4000, 425-823-4000.
The thing that struck both of us most strongly right from the beginning was libido. Our sex drive went out the roof. It was like being 18 years old again. It was pretty wonderful. And it was something we had been missing for quite some time.
Darling, hear my prayer. Come to me there. I'll be your love till the end.
Hey, welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Pete Talbot, and I'm here with, of course, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. And I have to play, I'm almost embarrassed to do this, Jerry, but I need you to review a little bit because some of the information you gave us during the opening part of the show, to me, is hitting me like a rock. Very impressive if I understood. You talked about the patients at Longevity Medical Clinic and the statistics regarding how many got COVID and versus the rest of the country. It's especially, I just want you to do a quick review and then we'll go to some calls.
I guess the capsule version is this. Nationally, if you look at the entire time from COVID first hit the country till now, about 2% of the population has been infected. But at Longevity, it's about 1%.
And our patients are in the old age.
Our patients are generally 50 to 90.
Yeah.
They're in the high-risk group, and yet half as many of our people got infected as the national average, even though our population is much older. Also, out of the whole population, we had two people we know of that were hospitalized. Both recovered fully. We've had zero deaths.
That's, I mean, statistically, that shouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, given our population of older Americans,
it's exciting.
We've done very, very well.
You have been talking for, I've known you now for 22 years.
Yep.
You constantly are talking about the importance of building your immune system. That's at the core. That's sort of fundamental to what we do at Longevity.
It is. What people don't realize is immune response is an integral part of protection against dementia and heart disease and even arthritis, infections, cancers. All of these things are related to your immune health.
Yeah, it's not just the virus. I've been talking about the virus.
It's not just infectious disease.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we are in the process of making you stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and sexier, a large part of that is the impact on your immune system so that your body has shifted towards protective, life-affirming sorts of metabolism. We want to decrease your production of fat. We want to increase your production of muscle. We want to raise your growth factors so you heal and repair tissue more efficiently so that you don't slide downhill, fall apart, get weak, slow, fat, weak, stupid, and die. And that process is also very protective against things like coronavirus.
That's the bottom line. Thanks for the review. It just was so dramatic, all of the statistics and the exciting news about longevity patients. And our patients, by the way. In fact, I heard you say just this last week, you are being thanked.
Yes.
You are being thanked overtly. I mean, you've always been thanked, but it's like this overwhelming wave of thanksgiving from our patients.
Yes, I talked about attitude of gratitude, which I hear on the phone calls, but I've even gotten notes from patients confirming that they would have been sicker had they not been with Longevity, and they may not have made it without Longevity.
So, anyway, good news. Grab one of those free health analysis appointments. I really hope you will. A free health analysis appointment. You get the two free tests, the blood test, and the special in-body test. We don't have time to go into all of the details as to those two free tests, but together they combine to give you some basic information. Basic information as it relates to what's happening in your body and what you should be concerned about. It's with that information that gives you possible steps to take. So it's pretty exciting. Go to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and push the schedule now button. It's easy to do. You can have it done. You can have your appointment scheduled in 3 minutes from right now. It's that easy. And if you don't have a computer, hey, go to call us. That's okay. 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. And because we went so long in the previous segment, I think we're going to have to just go to a break to sort of catch up. So forgive us, but we're going to go to a break right now. And then when we come back, we'll take a call or two. Okay? Hang on. We'll be right back.
I think if visualize your final 10, 20 years of life, you know, what would it be worth to you to feel great all that time and probably live longer? I know you don't really claim that, but have a higher quality of life in your final 10 or 20 years, what would that be worth? Either you have the exact result you want or a good reason not to. So drop the reason I'm too busy. Get to the seminar. You're going to absolutely love it.
My love must be a kind of blind love. Anyone but you.
Hey, welcome back. Pete Talbot here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samir Umat, dealing with some pretty heavy things. Again, a quick reminder, you can make an appointment for a free health analysis appointment by going online. In fact, about 90-95% of the people do it that way at lmclinic.com. If you've decided, okay, it is time. Well, it is. And you can go there, lmclinic.com, push the schedule now button, and easy to do. But I failed to give you the toll-free number. You can do that also. If you don't have a computer, no problem. Call us at 866-86-YOUNG. Just go ahead and take that first step. I think you will be glad you did. Okay. Hey, time for a call. Let's now go down to Chehalis and Rich. Rich, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. I'm 65 years old, or 66 now. Anyway, I finally had a A1C done by my doctor. He said, you're 65, we'll do an A1C for you. And I found out it was 6.5. And I,
oops.
And that was a while ago. And then he said, well, we'll do it again. And so I went on a low carb diet and started to do a little exercise. And right. It dropped to 5.8.
Okay.
And I found out my kidney function improved. So my question is this. Mm-hmm. In my thinking that insulin resistance and high insulin seems to be the genesis, to me, of all disease, because it creates inflammation that starts this disease process. So if I do exercise, and I don't want to do metformin because I don't want that sugar to be stuck in my gut, and I don't want that drug to affect my liver. So I was thinking that if I took supplements like chromium, alpha-lipoic acid, maybe berberine, that, and I did a good exercise program as far as stimulating my muscles, mm-hmm. that I can reverse that. Is there anything from a natural standpoint that you would suggest that will increase insulin sensitivity and try to get my A1C down? I told my doctor, I said, well, my goal is to get it below 5, the A1C. He says, well, none of my patients are below 5.
Well, and ours
so
are.
Well, good. So that was my question.
Okay. So. Yeah, our goal is 5.2 or less. Okay. The normal range for glucose runs from 4.4 up to, well, we used to say 6.5. 6.5 and above is by definition diabetes. 5.7 is pre-diabetes. So when you're at 5.7, 5.8, you are not technically a diabetic, but you're still doing all the same damage to your body as a diabetic. You're just doing it slower. All right. So we want to get you down below 5.2. And the big parameter that I use to remind people of where you are, the typical American, discounting the other aspects, just looking at hemoglobin A1C, if you have an A1C below 5.2, you're going to lose about 0.25% of your brain every year in brain volume. When you get up to 5.6, you have almost doubled the rate of brain loss. And when you get up to 6.5 and above, you are far more. You're about 2.5 times as much brain withering away every year as it could. So, you know, that's my biggest thing. If the brain don't work, the rest don't matter. And so that's my biggest goal. So I want those A1Cs 5.2 and below. And yes, muscle burns sugar just by existing. Muscle is a very energy intensive tissue and it burns sugar 24/7, even when you're sleeping. So exercise is good. Sedentary lifestyle is terrible. Lose all the excess body fat you can. Get lean. See if you can get your percentage of body fat down below about 17%. Okay. Ideally 14-15% for a man. Women will handle up into the low 20s, but 14-15% for a guy is close to ideal. So body fat down, muscle mass up. That's one of the reasons that men with higher than ideal A1Cs often need a little extra androgen boost. They need a little extra testosterone, dehydroepiandrosterone. We look at their pregnenolone levels, because these things help you to make muscle mass and burn fat. And that in turn lowers blood sugar, lowers insulin needs. Supplement wise, you've already mentioned one of the magic words, berberine.
Yeah.
There's at least one study that showed that berberine, milligram for milligram, was about as effective as metformin at lowering blood sugar. So, yeah, don't be afraid to use your berberine, plenty of it.
Yeah.
How many milligrams?
Well, again, milligram for milligram. So, you know, you're looking at 1,000, 1,500, maybe even 2,000 milligrams a day of berberine.
Yeah, I start at 1,000 and then I do go up to 2,000 if I have to, and I drop back as they get better. But the other parameter that, you know, we're not talking about is visceral fat here. Mm-hmm. And the in-body gives us a better idea, because I can see, even if they're losing weight sometimes, I know you're measuring your A1C and we do that too, but you might be losing weight, but you might be losing a lot of muscle. So you do want to make sure somebody's measuring that muscle and visceral fat.
And visceral fat, the central fat is the key. It's not the fat on your butt that's going to kill you. It's the fat inside your belly. And that's the fat that we want to measure. Not on your belly, in your belly. That fat underneath those rectus muscles.
I just want a quick question. Just add to the, what is the effect of caffeine? Because I'm reading that caffeine decreases insulin sensitivity. So what about caffeine?
Yeah, caffeine is a mixed bag. Caffeine does hype metabolism. And if your metabolism is up and your energy level is up, you tend to be more active, and that in turn burns more calories. But people that overload with caffeine actually not only get diminishing returns, they actually get sedentary and bloated feeling often. So the most effective caffeine regimen is twice a day. First thing in the morning to kind of get the engine started, and then again right after lunch. With lunch, you get that postprandial slump. You shunt your blood towards the gut to metabolize all that food you've ingested and away from the muscles. And a little caffeine load after lunch will often pick you back up and get you moving again.
Okay. One other thing, but that protein that you mentioned to the other guy that is more absorbable, I didn't quite catch that. And the hydrolyzed protein, I think that's what you called it.
Yeah, hydrolyzed proteins, and they're sold under a whole lot of brand names. We have one that we use here we call Slim, that is a hydrolyzed whey protein with a big load of fiber. The reason for the fiber is the fiber not only makes you feel full, but when the fiber hits your duodenum and jejunum, it actually triggers the production of incretins. Incretins are a hormone your own body will make in response to fiber that then lowers insulin resistance and allows you to metabolize your glucose more efficiently.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Let's go to Josette. Josette, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Josette.
Hi, everyone. Glad to get a hold of you. I have two questions. One might be more in the wheelhouse of Shamira, I don't know, but to either Jerry Mixon or her. It's a simple question. It has to do with coffee, drinking coffee, and taking your pills. They're antioxidants like relief factor and vitamin C. When I have coffee and I take those pills, am I canceling out the benefit of the antioxidants in my supplements?
No, you're not.
No, no.
Absolutely
in fact, not. I drink my coffee and my supplements with together yes, every morning at work.
And I swallow supplements with coffee regularly, too.
Yeah.
My husband will love you because I nag him. You can't have that now. You just had coffee.
No, you can't have your thyroid medication with coffee, especially if you're putting cream in your coffee. But supplements, totally different ballgame.
Okay, good. My second question is, I'm in a mental confusion. I know that you guys are all going to take the COVID vaccination, right?
Yes.
We've already had it.
All three of us have had our first shots.
Okay. Was that the Moderna or the Pfizer?
Moderna.
Moderna. Yep.
Moderna. Okay.
But we weren't given a choice. That's what we were given.
Yes.
Ah, okay. Well, I've listened to you guys, and you told me there is no live bacteria in that vaccination.
True.
And so when you take it, you can guarantee me that I won't get sick or really messed up.
You will not catch COVID. That much I can guarantee you.
You might feel tired and you might have achiness and you might have fever, but that's your body mounting a response to...
None of the three of us and the people, my friends, none of us had a negative effect.
No, not at all.
After the first shot.
When I got my shot, the only way I could tell where I got the shot was there was a Band-Aid there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
But I had no soreness, no pain, no fever, no nothing.
What I'm hearing, though, is that the second shot is causing more symptoms.
I'm hearing that, too.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to get my second shot and find out.
Right. Yeah. That's right. We all will, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kind of figured that, and I'd made up my mind that, okay, I'm going to get it. And then you hear all this fear-mongering, and it's like, oh, my God, what do I do? You know, who am I to believe? And, of course, you guys are definitely heavy in your court. So that kind of takes off the worries about should I or shouldn't I. So
you know,
I've never taken a flu shot before, ever. I've never
Oh, my goodness.
Vaccinated.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. The more vaccinations people have had, the better they tend to do with COVID. Which
That's
is,
true.
Yeah. And we think that might be one of the reasons that children do so well is that in this country, we whack our kids with all kinds of vaccines from birth on up. And we require them before they go to elementary school to, you know, get the list of their vaccines every year that you have to provide documentation. And it may well be that that wide variety of vaccines has primed their immune system to resist just about everything that comes by. So part of that childhood immunity to COVID is probably has something to do with the number of vaccines they've received.
You did explain that every time you do that, you really ramp up your T cells and it's better.
Mm-hmm. Precisely.
I had the H1N1, so a little bit there, and then I just got through getting the senior pneumonia vaccine. So,
okay. Yeah. And so, you know, that's a good start. And it also turns out that people that have had a lot of colds, mm-hmm. you know, just old-fashioned upper respiratory tract infections, about 30% of all the colds that we get in America are one form or another of a coronavirus. And what they've done now is done some studies in which they measure coronavirus antibodies in the bloodstreams of people that have never had COVID and have never been vaccinated. And if you've got antibodies to a lot of the more common respiratory versions of coronavirus from colds, you tend to get a lot less sick if you get COVID because it's also a coronavirus.
Hmm.
Well, thank you very much. You really alleviated my fears because my husband wanted to sign us up to be on the list to get it. So I wanted to pass it by you guys first before I became the guinea pig.
And
now, don't have a bad reaction and make us look bad, okay?
Okay, right. I will.
But,
Thank you very much.
Go ahead and go get your supplements and enjoy a nice cup of coffee,
too. That's right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Josette. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. And by the music, you can tell it's time for a break. And that's just where we're going to go, but we're not going to be long. It's a relatively short break. Quick reminder, we've got some videos on our homepage that are just amazing. Amazing. I promise you, you will enjoy them. If you are new to this program, Leading Edge Medicine, well, you need to go to the website, lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. Check out those videos, the introduction to longevity, the two stages of aging, there's things on sexuality, all kinds of good stuff, diabetes. You're going to want to do that at lmclinic.com. We'll be right back.
We'd just like to encourage your audience that hasn't come in and listened to a seminar and you folks to take a look at it. I honestly, you say 10 to 15 years on your advertisements. I think I feel better than I felt 30 years ago.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game.
You know what? 17 years with Van Dien, I've had absolutely no reason for a tear or even a moment of sadness.
Well, that's good to hear.
You're a lucky man, sir.
I am a lucky man.
Yes.
I'm sure there are people that would not consider her the perfect woman, but doggone it, she is the perfect wife for me.
That's the important statement. You don't have to marry perfection. You have to marry the perfect person for you.
Well, my wife married the perfect person, but...
Well, then how did she end up with you? What did you do with her husband?
I'm her second husband. So, we've been married for almost 52 years. And we are perfect for each other. Let us use the perfect word accurately.
That's right.
That's right.
We are perfect for each other.
And anyone who knows me knows that I am far from perfect.
Yes, yes. I second that motion.
Don't say that too loudly. Our patients love you.
Well, you know, my wife loves me, but I'm never quite sure whether it's because of or in spite of what people consider to be my flaws.
Okay. Let's bring this back.
I don't know the answer to that. You'll have to ask her.
You know, I almost feel guilty having fun right now because, honestly, the program started off on such a serious note. Jerry Berg, our producer, was talking to us during the hit. He says, you're going to need to talk about depression here because you've depressed the entire radio audience with the statistics.
Well, listen, I went to bed last night feeling pretty yucky, too.
Because of what you were reading.
Because what I've been reading.
There's hope. There is hope.
There is hope. There is hope. And, you know, and I got up this morning over breakfast and I was
happy again.
Visiting with Bandine about it. You know, and,
sun is shining.
And immediately she made me feel happy.
There you go. See?
Well,
I can't get out of the house, though, without her running up and wrapping that gorgeous little body around me and giving me a long hug and a kiss before I walk out the door. So
lucky
how do
man.
You not walk out the door happy?
Well, right. You sometimes don't want to walk out of the door.
That's the problem. Tempted to stay.
So here's the deal. Yes, we have to talk about some pretty serious things here on Leading Edge Medicine. And in fact, that's what Longevity Medical Clinic is all about. Ultimately, the ultimate
preventive
medicine clinic.
Yes.
And never been more important to get to know the Longevity Medical Clinic. In fact, to that end, real quickly here, to that end, if you want more information, we're no longer doing seminars. You heard that testimonial the guy said, you know, coming back from the break just about 2 minutes ago. He said, you guys say you can feel better
10 years
next year and, mm-hmm. and in the next 5 years as you did. But he said he feels better now than he did 30 years ago.
Yes.
And maybe that's an exaggeration, but the point is made. He's a happy camper. But the truth is, chronic illnesses we often have to deal with. And so you said you wanted to share both of you said you
yes.
wanted to talk a little bit about PDE5 inhibitors. Why don't you explain uh-huh. what we're talking about?
PDE5 inhibitors.
PDE5. I
phosphodiesterase.
Okay, PDE5. I can't believe that I forgot that. Yes. Go ahead, explain.
You're part MD now.
Yeah.
Well, it was a conversation we were having with our team of doctors yesterday, and we were talking about how we help improve function and improve vascularization with PDE5 inhibitors, which are the Orcialis class of drugs, phosphodiesterase inhibitors. And they help not only in erectile dysfunction, but originally were used for cardiac dysfunction too.
Right.
And then, Jerry, we were talking about women and what role they play for women. And you pointed out rightly that they can be very important in reducing risk for cancers.
Yes. Yeah, and one of our doctors, you know, was raised and said, well, why, you know, why women? What studies do you have for women?
Exactly.
And I said, well, you know, there's not a lot of studies on sexual function for women like there is sexual function for men with PDE5 inhibitors. Simply because erectile dysfunction is not an issue for women.
Correct.
But the studies that using PDE5 inhibitors for women are primarily osteoporosis and cancer studies. Breast cancer, colorectal cancers especially. Using these drugs in men and women with colon cancer or colorectal cancers can lower their risk of dying by 35%.
Now, that's pretty phenomenal.
It is, you know, because that's above and beyond the other therapies.
Right.
And we got a lot of therapies for colorectal cancer. You know, you get the surgery and the chemotherapy, yes, and the radiation. But above and beyond that, adding the PDE5 inhibitors saves another 35% of the people.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing. So, you know, if we're using this class of drugs for another purpose, say we use it for cardiac dysfunction or for even sexuality in men, just the fact that they're using this drug could potentially lower their risk for developing colorectal cancer.
Yes. Well, not only that. Yeah, that the function is that cancers are rich in phosphodiesterase. Phosphodiesterase activity is important for the growth of the cancer and for the early spread of the cancer, for the metastasis. And so it doesn't matter why you're using the PDE5. Your body doesn't know why you're taking it.
Right.
If you're taking it because you have erectile dysfunction and you want to have better sex life.
Yeah.
If you're a woman, yes, you don't have a penis, so you don't have erectile dysfunction, but you've got a clitoris.
Right.
And you get the same engorgement and increased blood supply in a woman's genitals that a man does in his. But you are protecting yourself. You're lowering the phosphodiesterase activity in tumors. Typically, let me use breast cancer for an example. A breast cancer, a woman who says, oh my God, I just got breast cancer. No. Mm-hmm. Until that, for that tumor to get big enough to be mm-hmm. identified on your mammogram.
Right.
You usually had it for 3 years.
At least.
It can be 3 to 5 mm-hmm. years.
Yes.
Okay. And so you don't know you have a cancer now. You believe you have no cancer. You're on the PDE5 inhibitors. Well, guess what? You may never discover you have the cancer
right.
because you have slowed its growth. It would have taken 3 to 5 years to get big enough for you to find it. Now with your PDE5 inhibitors, it may be 10 years.
Right.
Okay. You may never discover it. Fine. Who
right.
cares? And if you do have one, you've lowered your risk of it spreading. The other thing with PDE5 inhibitors are they are important for osteoporosis.
Yes.
They, quite apart from the testosterone and estrogen effects, PDE5 inhibitors help you to make stronger, denser bones. So even if you're not interested in, you know, worried about cancer or you're not worried about your sexuality, your bone density is an important reason.